This is Jason Q. Citizen and Friends on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to the second hour of the Jason Q. Citizen and Friends program, and I'm delighted that very shortly I'm going to introduce you to a brand new guest on the station. Her name is Diane Dimitri, and I'll tell you what an accomplished lady, and I'm delighted to be able to introduce her to our audience and all the work that she's doing across many different areas. Before there was Me Too, there was Diane Dimitri, perhaps it's Me One, but it's an incredible story, and you're going to just delight in what strength and power of one can do, motivational story, but she hasn't stopped. If anything, she's getting bigger and better as she goes, and I just can't wait to speak to her. But before we get there, I just want to just reflect upon the Optus hack. I think it's one of those surprise developments in this country that is going to be more of a benefit than a hindrance in what we're trying to do and make people aware of. We saw that almost 10 million people had their data hacked in this. We don't even know who it was, of course, but out of 26 million population, that's 40% of the country have seen that their information is now not private. And so what it's saying, of course, is that any move to a digital identity, a digital currency, is fraught with danger. And we're not being alarmist at all. And now we're seeing in the mainstream, people are starting to be very concerned about this. Now, an article's popped up by Seven News today, and they're saying that there are calls now for a crackdown on facial recognition technology as advocates warn use will only continue to grow. Kmart, Bunnings, and the good guys have admitted that they've used facial recognition across the country. So now we're starting to ask about what the real risks are. Now, here's something I just want you to think about. It was brought up to me by a conversation I had with Sonia Bailey, who is my regular co-pilot on a Monday on this program. And she said, what if you've got one of those phone contracts with Optus and you've signed up to an Optus mobile phone that's locked to that network, and for convenience you decided to hold your face up against the phone for an ID? That's now in the system, isn't it? What about if you relied on fingerprint technology to unlock your phone to save you from the inconvenience of having to type and remember a 4 or 6 digit PIN code? That too is now available to a third party, and now a fourth party of dubious origin, and we don't even know where that information's gone. It could be in China, could be in Russia, could be everywhere. Now, are you starting to understand why a digital ID is not a good thing? Because we don't know, and the government themselves don't know exactly who or how you get control of your data. Now, in the last hour, we concluded the last segment by I asked Topher Field about where he sees us going. What is the future? What is the happy ending? What can we look forward to? And like Rob Cribb on the show yesterday, both gentlemen talked about the idea of individual human rights being at the very top, because without individual human rights, you can't have collective human rights, and therefore we can't just hand that to a corporate, to a government, or to anyone else to make them more powerful than us. And he also talked about the idea that everyone is equal and nobody is special. So with all of that, we are now reminded, therefore, that the power of handing over technologies does come with a risk. And convenience has got to be weighed up against all risks, just as it was when we took that, or if we didn't take that jab and were vilified for doing it. Because now we're learning today in the news that 7 of 11 women who have had a recent mRNA vaccine who are breastfeeding are passing along that mRNA in their breast milk. That should have you punching anything that you can see in front of you out of sheer rage that once again we have been gaslit and lied to by our authorities. So it means that we were right all along, and it means that we must continue to share information organized. But with all of these red pills, I'll remind you, it was Jeremy Nell on this program last week, and he says, don't get black pilled by all the red pills. Don't become nihilistic. Don't give up. better become white-pilled. And that means to be able to live your best life right now. Enjoy those that you can love around you and the families that you have created, and do the best that you can for your own. And of course, that means that in a moment when I introduce you to Diane, who better to have on the program today? Why not give TNT Radio a follow? We're on all the major social platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Gab, and Getter. Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Talking the big stories.
Our country has a lot of problems.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Diane Dimitri is a lady that you may not have heard of, but I tell you what, when you do, you will be compelled to look further into the body of work that she's created. I don't want to get too much into her story. I'll let you tell that to her, tell that to us all. But a businesswoman, somebody who's worked in the entertainment industry, a book writer, a motivational speaker. She's even owned internationally acclaimed resorts in Vanuatu. I'll tell you what, if Diane hasn't done it, it's probably not even worth doing. But Diane Dimitri, welcome to the Jason Q Citizen and Friends program.
Lovely to be here, Jason. Thank you very much.
Reading through your bio and the work that you've done up against the tyranny, it's almost like it's now expected that you're meant to have scars on your body and in your mind in order to have achieved something in this world that's meant to be free and lovely and all the rest of it, which is anything but. But there's something about a survivor that's compelling, it's magnificent, and it's information that all of us can do as we try and find purpose in our lives. And if anything we've learned from the last 3 years, it was how do we rediscover purpose in a system where the old world is gone. It may look like the old world, but it's finished. And we're moving rapidly into a whole new space here. And we're all looking to find out where our lives will head into the future. And many of us worried for some time that we may not have even had one. There's so much to unravel in all of this. But perhaps it's best to start just by telling us a little bit about your background and how you've arrived to be also become, of course, a political candidate in 2022. There's just so much that's going on. How about we go back a little bit?
Well, we can go right back to when I was 2 years of age and I wiggled my nappy off in front of the radiogram, which there won't be many of your listeners who even know what a radiogram is. So Google that, young people. Yeah. My parents made an inspired decision and sent me off to dance class, to ballet class. So I spent the first 30 years in the greatest love affair of my life with ballet, dance, and the entertainment industry. And I say to people over the last 2 years, as people say, what is going on? What is going on? Why can't people see what's going on? And some people can. And I say to everybody, we have a line in the sand. Everybody has a line in the sand in their lives. I found my line in the sand when I was 30. And my line in the sand came when my producer sacked me for apparently being too fat because I refused to sleep with him. Wow. Now, back then, there were no laws to protect anybody in that situation. There were no discrimination laws. There were no unfair dismissal laws. Back then, all we had was the Australian Conciliation and Arbitration Commission. And so if you wanted to actually take your employer to court over an unfair dismissal, that was the only place you could go. Now, Me Too did not exist back then, but I was a warrior. I suited up and I thought, you can't sack me for being too fat because I haven't put on any weight. I'd grown up watching the MGM musicals and I thoroughly believed that the good guys win. And so off we went to court and the commissioner reinstated me because there was no grounds for my dismissal and I hadn't broken my contract. And so I went back to the casino. This all happened at Jupiter's Casino back in 1988. Biggest shows staged in the country at the time. And I was the assistant director and choreographer, as well as the dance captain and dancer. I go back to the show. My doctor tells me I need a little bit of time off. I actually thought that we could put Humpty Dumpty back together again and everybody would get on well. I was so naive. I had some time off on sick leave and the producer sacked me again on sick leave. So I took him back to court and this time he'd paid for a QC, now a KC, to come in and cross-examine me. And the commissioner, again, could only find in my favour, but he didn't want to he wanted to reinstate me, I correct myself, but the producer said, if you reinstate her, I will take it to the Supreme Court. And so the commissioner was very concerned about my health at the time and he called me into his chambers and he said, I really don't want to send you back. That is a toxic environment, but you've done nothing wrong. And so it was a lose-lose for me in many ways because I didn't get a payout. The commissioner had no power to give me a payout. I got 4 weeks' pay in lieu of notice. I lost my career. Actually, I'll rephrase that. My career was taken from me, as was my identity, as was my ability to make a living. I couldn't earn a living because by then I'd been front page coverage across Australia. Dancer sacked for being too fat. Yarn Event offered me an obscene amount of money in those days of $10,000 to do a TV interview. And, of course, I didn't have a Harry M. Miller. I didn't have a promoter. I just wanted my job back. So, basically, I lost everything. And that was my line in the sand. I had a choice at that time to either kill myself, and suicide was a very good option, let me tell you, or to dare to be more than I was before. And so the word dare and that verb dare has manifested itself very strongly in my life. And so I dared to be more and I went on a conscious journey to find out why did this happen to me? How did this happen to me? I was a good girl. Good girls don't have bad things done to them. And I went on this amazing conscious journey and am still on that journey to discover how did this happen and what could I done differently. And this is where a lot of people have found themselves in the last 2.5 years. They're angry, they're depressed, they've moved into apathy, frustration, really giving up and thinking, well, life's not worth living. And I can appreciate all of that. And so when I saw what happened in the last 2.5 years with people being discriminated against for standing up for their personal freedoms, that was my trigger point. And I went, right, I know what that feels like and this is totally unfair and this should not be happening in a free democratic society. And that's what took me into the political arena. And it was an arena I never, ever wanted to go into or ever thought I would go into. But it was one of the most fulfilling and purposeful experiences of my life. And you mentioned purpose before. And purpose is something that you find from within. You never find your purpose from without.
Look, how beautifully put, and what an unbelievable story. My mother used to say to me, when I'd be down for various different reasons, she'd say, look, take a look at yourself. She says, you come from good, hardy Russian stock. What doesn't kill us makes us stronger. and she was right. And listening to your story there, Diane, it's the very same thing. My wife and I went through a profound loss. We'd buried 3 or 4 parents. We'd even buried our firstborn child that we had together. She was stillborn at 31 weeks. We had to then deal with that fallout, which was something else. When you lose a child, it breaks all the rules of nature. Your children are meant to bury parents. That's how it works. And it took us a couple of years of a lot of, you know, counselling and reflection. And one of the things that I've concluded out of all of that is that you can distill life down to something very simple. You find the joy, and if there is none, you take the lesson or the growth. And it seems that, Diane, in that long years of suffering that you went through just by trying to maintain your stage in life, it was, how many lessons do I have to take out of all of this? But in all of it, it seems that you took the big one, which was I can expand from here and I can be 1,000 times better than I ever thought I was as a dancer. And I wonder, just before we go to the break, therefore, when you look back and reflect on your life now, do you see it as the start of the rest of your life or a pitfall that you're still struggling from? Have you become a better person as of that tyranny that was put upon you?
It was the beginning of my life, the life I came to live. In my memoir, I write about the first 30 years that got me to that as the making of the woman. And then the next part is the breaking and remaking, the awakening of the woman. And that's what it is. So I'm very fortunate that I had my line in the sand thrust upon me at that age. I'd much prefer to have it early than later, because I've been able to live the next 35 years and the next 35 years in a more conscious state of being, so that I know that there is so much more going on than just me as a personality. And once we tap into that, once we tap into our fearlessness and our faith that there is something much greater going on than what appears to be happening, that's when the whole universe opens up for us and joy becomes our nature.
Gosh, I hope that you're really enjoying listening to Diane, this conversation. It's truly motivating. It's a story for the ages, and it feels a little bit like This Is Your Life, but better. And I'm glad that Diane's here with us. So we're going to take a break and come back and explore a whole lot more here on TNT Radio.
Dolores Cahill on TNT Radio.
I'm sure listeners to this program know that there was warrants that I've never seen in England for me, you know, been one of the organizers of the first Trafalgar Square, right? Which I did in order to exercise our inalienable rights of freedom of travel and freedom of speech and freedom for people to heal, to hear health information, to keep them alive, right, from nurses and doctors. And also there is currently a warrant out that I've also never seen for traveling from Dublin Airport after speaking in Edinburgh to go home to my child at the time. And they want to put me in prison for six months each for just going to the airport and returning home, having given health information that proved to be accurate. So I think what's very interesting, because also what we saw on Trafalgar Square was shocking. If you were there, a lot of times, but the first time, there was over 800 robocops that just came in to a peaceful, beautiful, sunny day, 4 o'clock in the afternoon with 40, 50,000 people. And literally, they just with robocops started beating up men, women, and children, right?
Weekends with Dolores Cahill on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Affordable housing, we can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are Opportunity Zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702. Or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
When you need to know what's going on around the world and at home, keep it on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to the Jason Q Citizen and Friends program, and I'm absolutely delighted to be speaking with Diane Dimitri on this show today. And if you go to Diane's website, or one of them, daretocareaustralia.com, that's caresaustralia.com, you'll be able to see just some of the work that Diane's up to as she's created that website. But I was watching one of the videos, and you talk about self-leadership and the idea now that, and this is a common theme that seems to be coming up on my show more and more, it's the idea of your individual rights as a human being, but also the idea that you are the master of your own destiny, something that you've learnt on the run in real life. So I want to ask you about that, and in terms of how you created Dare to Care, the community work, and to explain that a little bit more, please.
When I was campaigning as a political candidate for the last federal election, one of the things that struck me and one of the pillars of my five-point electoral plan was to find meaningful ways in which to help resolve the social issues within the community. And it's been a very tumultuous 2.5 years, and I was blessed to meet so many amazing people who were standing for their human rights, for their liberty, for their freedom, for their right to choose. And their stories in many cases were heartbreaking, absolutely heartbreaking. And after the election, they were still very, very front and centre of my mind. And so I thought, even if I wasn't elected, there must be some way in which I can help. And I didn't want to be an organisation where we gave a hand out. I have always been somebody who gives a hand up. I've always believed that if you teach a man to fish, that man can feed a community for his lifetime. No good giving him a fish, it feeds him for a meal. And so all of my work has been to dare to help people create their own success stories. And that's where Dare to Care came from. There's wonderful research by a neuroscientist by the name of Dr. Andrew Huberman. And his work in neuroscience concludes that, in fact, the human race can be divided into two groups, those who care and those who don't. And when I came across his work and I delved deeper into it, I realized, my goodness, he's absolutely correct. There are those in humanity who care about themselves, their family, their neighbors, their children, their community. And then there are those who just don't care. And it comes out of our own mouths many times when we're talking. We'll be talking, we say, and they just don't care. And we need to stop and consider that. And then take that step back and then ask ourselves, how much do I care? How much do I really care about helping someone else, empowering somebody else, educating somebody else, activating somebody else, literally restoring social cohesion in our community? It doesn't take much. I grew up in an age where, you know, if somebody moved in next door, you'd bake them up some biscuits and you'd go and say hello. It was the neighbourly thing to do. The last 2 years, we've looked at dobbing our neighbours in because they weren't wearing a mask. And so Dare to Care was born from the idea that it's time to restore social cohesion in our community, that it's time to strengthen mainstream Australian values, and it's time to support our small businesses. Pay cash whenever you can. Go and shop at small businesses rather than conglomerates. I've always said in all of my work, follow the money. Who's making the money? Because if we look particularly over the last 2.5 years, it's not the little guy who's been making the money. And so I'm a great supporter of helping people who would be in a situation where they need a little bit of a hand up. And the best way to do that is to empower people, give them the tools and the resources that they need to help them generate a higher energy, which is activating people, to energize them, to elevate their resonance, to elevate their vibration, and then to educate them, to give them specific tools, answer their questions, and take them through the process. Because when we do that, that is what Dare to Care is about. We empower, we activate, we educate. And when we do that, what we're actually doing is creating the change that we want to see in the world. Many people have said to me, oh, I'm just one person, what can I do? You can make change. Make change within yourself. Stand up. Stand up for your values. Don't cower in the corner because the left is shrieking louder than your conservative values, which have supported you all your life. Stand up. Speak out. Don't be afraid anymore. Because if we want the world to change, we must be that change we want to see. And that's what Dare to Care is all about. Because when we dare to care, other people will dare to care just that little bit more. And that's what community is about.
It certainly is. And I note that you are running a community champion program that you'll be awarding early next year. Can you tell us quickly about that?
Yes, we have three categories. We have our youth category, an adult category. Youth is up to 18, adult is 18 and over. And we have a family category. And we're asking people to nominate, because particularly in the last 2.5 years, there have been outstanding people in our community doing great things that I think many people just take for granted. So the person who perhaps helped buy the elderly person down the street their groceries during lockdown. And that person kept helping. Why? Because they were a caring human being. That's a community champion to us. We want to know about them. We want to know about the family that actually went out and helped other families who maybe took their children to help down at the Lismore floods. And as a family, they helped. And then, of course, the adult category is obvious. And again, individual people. But what we're about is reaching further and deeper into the community. What we've been conditioned to do over the last 2.5 years is isolate and to stay in our own little bubbles. We must break that. We must reach further and deeper into the communities. We recently held a long table picnic in the park where we invited various other community groups to nominate people within their groups who really could do with a bit of fun, fellowship and friendship. And then we set up the big long table picnic in the park. We provided all the food. It was like, come, eat our food, relax, join us. And people arrived that day as strangers and they left as friends. And it was just such a good feeling. We all need to feel good more often. And one of the quickest ways to feel good is to care for other people.
Yeah, well said. We're going to pause for news headlines. When we return, we're going to talk about Diane's new book that she's written and also about her motivational speaking that obviously you're hearing a taste of right now. Don't go anywhere. This is TNT Radio.
Matt Boyland here with a look at your TNT headlines. Four Russian-controlled regions in Ukraine's east and south have voted to break away from Ukraine and become part of Russia in a series of referendums. NASA's Mega Moon rocket will remain grounded for at least another 6 weeks, thanks to a series of rolling setbacks, and Hurricane Ian has cut power to the entire island of Cuba after smashing into the island's west coast on Tuesday.
Why not give TNT Radio a follow? We're on all major social platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Gab, and Getter. Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time right here on today's News Talk.
TNT Radio.
TNT Radio.
I'm delighted to have you listening to my program. This is the Jason Q Citizen and Friends Show. And listening to the news update, and it's compelling, isn't it, when you hear that in Russia and Ukraine there's a referendum and those regions have voted overwhelmingly to return back to Russia. They're predominantly occupied by Russian people. And as George Eliason said on the program yesterday, he predicted this outcome, and now we see the mainstream media calling it a sham election, and the Ukrainian government has come out and threatened 5-year imprisonment if caught voting in said referendum. Then we hear, of course, that NASA has shut down the moon program. The moon program, where's that been for 50 years? And all of a sudden we're firing missiles at asteroids. But we get to watch a cartoon animation of that event. And it's going to be 3 months before we see the outcome, whether that trajectory, that asteroid's been knocked off its trajectory, or whether it's broken into 1,000 pieces and they're going to be coming directly at Earth. Who knows what the funny people at NASA are going to do. and that whole show. But as we're talking about today, and it's very important here as we as we're all red-pilled, is that we understand what's going on there in the wider community, and we've predicted so much in what's going on. But we also talk about the idea of self-leadership and self-sufficiency. And in the last hour of the program, Topher brought up the idea of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Mm. And it ties in nicely, Diane, with what you were saying before. And what he was saying, that in the period of the lockdowns, if you understand Maslow's pyramid, the triangle where your physiological needs sit at the bottom, these are the basics that everyone needs to be able to breathe, access to food, water, shelter, sleep, homeostasis, and even sex and excretion are all part of the basic needs. And from there, most people just, you know, we don't all live great, exciting lives where we reach self-actualization and explain that many of us live mundane lives with a little bit of joy at the end of the week or however it works. But if you jump up in the Maslow hierarchy of needs, the next stage is what we call safety, security of body, of employment, of resources, of morality, of the family, of health, and of property. And here is where Topher was alluding to. People during the lockdowns actually thought it was a noble thing to dob in their neighbours because it meant that you were saving lives, as he said it. And so we move into the murky world of confusion. And this is where it becomes very difficult. So it's one thing to be able to set up these programs and aim for the right thing, which is all working. But sometimes we're wondering why we haven't had necessarily the success that we expected by building these great things. And so it's a really important adjustment to be able to understand this hierarchy of needs. But as we climb that ladder through love and belonging and through esteem, and self-esteem is quite high in the things that we aim for, confidence, achievement, respect of others, and respect by others. And Diane, as I look at that and I listen to your story of what you went through way back in the late 80s, this is what knocked you off your perch and will lead you to make that statement where you considered that suicide at the time was a conceivable option. And I know that now you would say that that would be the last thing that you would ever think of, but it shows you just how others have that profound effect on our lives, both positively and negatively. And your candid openness and being able to, this is all part of reaching higher success, is being able to be open and honest with just yourself, but also in the general public. And it frames us all. And this is why I'm so interested to explore both your work as a motivational speaker and also in your new book, which you've appropriately named Dare, which is the ultimate encouragement to take a chance on oneself. And it's purely motivational just in its statement alone. Could you tell us a bit about the book and what prompted you and a little bit more of what we can expect?
The book is it's probably the 13th book I've written, because my other books are fiction, and writing my memoir was always something I was going to do. And I wanted to write more than a story, so it's classed as a teaching memoir. So I do bear my soul in this book, and it goes through my journey from born an illegitimate child in the late 1950s all the way to my 60th year. So the first two thirds of my life, as I say. And the key behind DARE was to show people that they are never alone, and that anybody can take adversity and turn it into triumph if you're willing to dare a little more. If you're willing to dare to dream bigger dreams, if you're willing to dare to go past your old limitations, if you're willing to dare to press on no matter what, and if you're willing to dare to believe that you can manifest your dreams or something better. And that's what the book is about. And at the end of the chapters in the second half of the book, I include the 50 insights that I learned along the way, because I've read many great memoirs and autobiographies, but most of them leave me wanting more, because the authors don't go deeply enough for me. Mm. And so I wanted to make sure that in this book, no matter how very, very personal it is, that I have given people, the readers, 50 insights that if they really want to dare, if they really want a transformational journey, here are the keys. Here are the keys to the kingdom, as they say. And that's what DARE is all about.
You know, when you start, for me, when I started becoming an avid reader, it was the autobiographies that excited me, because I struggled with fiction going through school. I never understood fantasy. It didn't make sense to me. And so I lost interest at school very early in high school in English. And it was only, I think, by the time I got to year 12 that something just went off in my head, and I realized just how simple the whole process was. It was a case of reading a book was like watching a movie, understanding the characters and what motivated them, and treat them like real people. And all of a sudden you understood the psychology, and all this whole new world opened up to me. So then I wanted to learn a little bit more about different people. And you're right. You hear all you read all these great stories and these incredible things that happen to people, whether they be a movie star or a director or whoever it was, and you hear about these, and they're always come from humble beginnings, don't they? Every story. I remember reading about Dustin Hoffman, the actor, getting to New York and sharing a flat with Robert Duvall and Gene Hackman. Imagine that back in the day. And Hoffman was talking about how he was so scared. He was only a little man, and how scared he was to go out into New York on his own as a teenager. And he used to sleep on the floor of the kitchen. I mean, these are incredible stories. But what you don't necessarily get, as you alluded to, is you don't get a blueprint or an instructions manual of exactly how it was that Dustin Hoffman got his break. Because often for them, they will describe it as a form of chance. But I'm reminded by another Hollywood actor, Woody Allen, who said that 80% of life is just turning up. And perhaps it is just the idea of being involved in something that takes your interest in order to get something to spark or to happen. And the idea is that we need to get out of that comfort zone and go and do something that's compelling, regardless of what our expectation or what we think our outcome would be. And from there, we realize that, you know what, I've just done something new, something different, and it's made my life feel improved, and I'm encouraged to go on. And so it is its own form of daring. So we look more into that story. Do we expect when we read it, Diane, that you are explaining a bit more of the blueprint of how we can therefore follow and apply this to our own lives?
Yes. At the beginning, I write in the preface that we have had life back to front. We're actually conditioned to live life back to front. So we focus on the doing and the having. So normally we focus firstly on the having. Oh, I want this, I want this, I want this. What do I have to do to have that? And then people will say, well, once I've got the house, once I've got the car, and once I've got the partner, and once I've got this, then I can be the person I want to be. And what I say in the book is that is all back to front. The most important thing is, who are we being? And when I say being, I use being as a verb, not as a noun. Who are we being? Because who we are being is what identifies the life we are to live. So if we want more, we have to be more. And so I say in the book, dare to be more, so that you can do more of what matters and have more of what counts. And the sequence is be, do, have. And once we start to focus on that sequence rather than the reverse of have, do, be, once we actually look at who am I being, then we can literally start to map out. And I give the 50 insights to being that I learned along the way. And, wow. And then I explain them. I explain what be patient, be purposeful, be centered, be curious, be focused. I go through all of the various being insights in the book at the end of the chapters, and the touchstone episodes in the chapters show or highlight that particular being insight. So once you've read the book, you can also use it as an I Ching, and so that you could literally flick through it of a morning and say, what is the most appropriate lesson for me with my being insights today? And see what chapter comes up and then read those, because I'm a great believer, and I have constantly worked with omens for the last 35 years. I'm constantly looking and listening for the omens. What's the song on the radio? What's this telling me? What's that telling me? Why is that there? There is a message there. So there are constant whispers coming to us all the time. And the key is do we dare to be aware, or are we just going to live our lives unconsciously? Because when we live our lives unconsciously, we become compliant. And that's what the big agenda is about making humanity compliant and to controlling us. So if you want to live a purposeful, fabulous, wonderful, energized life, there's only one way of doing that, and that is to go within to your being and be who you are from that being perspective as a verb, not as a noun.
As part of the approach of the being results in the doing, do you find in your life that in this approach that you meet people automatically who are doing the being and therefore the doing? Does it like attract like is where I'm going?
Absolutely, yes. One of my favorite statements comes from Einstein. And Einstein said, everything is energy. Match the frequency of the reality you want, and you cannot help but get that reality. This is not philosophy. This is physics. And it's really that simple. It's really that simple. If you want to have this fabulous life, whatever it may be, whatever it may be, each of us needs to elevate our vibrational energy, our resonance to that frequency, and then don't resist it. Stay at that level of resonance. Don't resist it. Don't doubt it. Don't despair. Just stay at that resonance, and that reality will manifest immediately. And it does. So the only length of time it takes for the reality that we envisage to manifest is the amount of resistance that we put in its place. Match the frequency of the reality you want, and you can't help but get that reality. It's physics. It's not woo-woo. It's not mumbo-jumbo. It's not crazy, you know, tinfoil hat stuff. It's physics. It's physics because we all resonate at a vibrational energy all the time.
And three words is what Diane's explaining here. Just simply be, do, have. We've often lived our lives as have, to, and be. If I have the house, if I, and this is what people say when they get married and they say, look, we're not going to have children until we're set up with our house. And then my mother would say to me, but you're never going to have enough money to raise a child. That's not how this system works. And it's probably the best advice that you're going to get, because we're always trying to get to this ideal. And idealism is another form of, well, it's the ultimate form of procrastination. And in many ways, it could be reviewed as a mental a condition on its own, because it is holding us back in so many different ways. But what we're going to do is we're going to run to another break. But I'd like you at home to just reflect upon the idea of what it is to be whatever it is before you do, and then resulting in the have. And when we come back, we're going to explore with Diane, like I did with Topher in the last hour, perhaps what it is that is the new world that we're headed towards, and what that new world would look like if we were the ones to be able to design it. This is a special day here on TNT Radio. I hope you're enjoying it. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
Here's something I wrote back on June 1st. Sky-high gas prices, supply chain problems, the threat of people not being able to get out of a hurricane area due to the nature of the season, rapid inclose development within a couple of days of the coast are just a few of the many considerations, only one of them, the last one, having to do with the weather. The others have to do with the energy policy worthy of Chavez's best days. Hurricane forecasting has always been a high-pressure job, ironically, given they are low-pressured. But for the Biden administration energy policy, we have really upped the ante as far as these things. This is a disaster in the making, more so than what it would have been anyway, because the recovery is going to be slow. Hits near Fort Myers, comes back out over the water near Daytona Beach, with a second hit likely on the Georgia-South Carolina coast sometime late Friday or Saturday. And the things I listed for you there, written on June 1st, I fear are going to come true. This is WeatherBell.com meteorologist Joe Bastardi for TNT Radio, reminding you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
There is no such thing as a journalist that echoes state propaganda. We mandate that the truth be told. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to the Jason Q Citizen and Friends program as we head the run home towards the news. And I'm here with Diane Dimitri. Diane, would you be able, before we run out of time, can you just guide people to your website so that they can check out your work, and also if they want to get hold of your brand new book, Dare, please?
The easiest place to find me is all the W's, Diane Dimitri, DianeDemetri.com. And from my landing page, you can then go through the other aspects of the work I do, professional development, my political and social advocacy with Dare to Care, and then the personal development, which is my Master Mindset Method course. So DianeDemetri.com.
Wonderful. So there's all the access there for your workshops. And are these workshops held periodically? And how does that work?
Yes. So workshops periodically with Dare to Care. We've got our community calendar up. So just hit the calendar tab and that will show you what we're running. And with our Dare to Care workshops and events, they're basically nominal cost or free, really low costs. And then with my Master Mindset workshops, online courses, and then with my professional development, which is my keynote speaking, leadership and coaching for organizations and companies.
Oh, wonderful. That's fantastic. Now, looking forward out of this great big mess that you've seen, and you're obviously observing like we all are, we've got the potential of World War III blowing up out of Russia, it feels like, and the many guests I've had on the program from all walks of life. And I think it was Ross Cameron, in fact, last week on the program said to me that he believed that Ukraine was nothing more than a great money laundering exercise for the West. And it was George yesterday on the program that said, in actual fact, it appears, and this is to paraphrase, that it's a stockpiling of weapons in Ukraine, all this money being sent over by the United States. It seems every week they're sending billions of dollars across. And he said, the reason I say that is because these weapons that are being sent, you can't just open up a packet, pull out a weapon and shoot it and fire it. You've got to be trained in how to use it. And these weapons are too sophisticated for the local soldiers to be able to do it. So they're being sent there for a purpose. Given we're looking at what's going on there, and we've got what's going on here in Australia, and we're going down this unbelievable march towards green energy revolution that's sending everyone broke in real time, interest rates going through the roof and energy prices going through the roof and a real risk of a recession, there is a lot of pitfalls heading out for us. If we can navigate this mess that's coming, what do you see beyond that as to our best future? Have you given yourself a chance to think about this and what you would like to see?
The best future from my point of view is probably the future I've always envisaged for many, many years, and that is that each person takes self-responsibility. It's a phrase that isn't used much anymore. It was very big during the 80s, self-responsibility, and giving up the whole aspect of blaming, shaming, and judgment. And that's probably our biggest downfall. And social media actually has accelerated that negative emotion, and self-responsibility and leadership. But taking it one step further is truly being curious about who we are. And we need to make a shift of human perspective. While we see ourselves as nothing more than humans, being, it's not enough. We are each spiritual beings having a human experience. And for a lot of people, they don't see that, but I encourage people to stop. Meditation is one of the quickest ways to actually calm the soul, calm the spirit, and to focus. We have, as humans now, the attention span less than a goldfish, which is 9 seconds. We are never going to get out of any mess, let alone what is going on at the moment, if we cannot focus for more than 9 seconds. So my first encouragement, or the first tool I would say to everybody, and I do this in my leadership speaking, is that we must have focused intention. If you must train yourself to be focused and focus your intention on what it is you want. Because if you can't focus your intention, you can kiss the game goodbye. And that's what's happened. We have a generation now of people who cannot focus because it's scroll, scroll, swipe, swipe. Focused intention. These are actually the three steps to success. Focused intention. The second one is aligned action. There's no point having focused intention if you don't align your actions to your intention. It seems pretty obvious, but people don't do it. So you must align all your actions to the intention. Then the third aspect is applied skills. You've got to cultivate the skills and then apply them. Now, those three aspects of focused attention, aligned action, and applied skills are about mastery. It's about mindset mastery. It's about energy mastery. And it's also about skills mastery. And once we master those three aspects of our life, we become the master of our destiny. And if everybody just did a little bit of that every day, we would shift the energetic resonance on the planet. And that's what we're doing. You see, there was this wonderful study back in 2003 called the Maharaji Effect. It was done in America across 16 cities. And they had groups of transcendental meditation gurus all doing meditation. And their whole focus during the study was that they would focus on peace. Do you know that in those 16 cities, each of them experienced a decrease in criminal activity while the TM groups were meditating? That's the power of consciousness. That's the power of focused attention, aligned action, and applied skills. And that's why you may recall at the very beginning of this fiasco 2 years ago, you had people like Deepak Chopra and these people saying, let's do global meditations, because they understand how powerful energy resonance is. And if everybody stopped looking at what's wrong in their lives, and I know this is hard, stop looking at what's going wrong, stop going down the rabbit holes and go, no, I know that. Now, how do I shift it? How do I make change in my life by focusing my attention, aligning my skills, aligning my action, applying my skills? At least then I'm raising the resonance. Because the darkness in the world cannot continue when people become the light. And it's like when you walk into a dark room and you turn on the electric light, it doesn't take a while for the light to come into the room. Boom, it's lit. And that's what we have to do. We have to shine so brightly that we can guide other people out of their own darkness. And that's why I speak about luminary leadership, the new masters of leadership. That's who we are, luminary leaders. And the moment we start daring to shine and daring to go, yeah, I can shine, I am bright, I can do this. And if we do that even 5 minutes a day, then tomorrow is 6 minutes and then the next day is seven. Bingo. All of this darkness and all of what people like to call evil intentions, I just call them empty intentions. They have no power. They have no power over me. Goodness gracious. And the more we take on that perspective, we can stop all of this in its tracks. But we must do it together.
It seems that there's two great points that just to bring up out of all of that. And the one thing that bugs me more than anything, it's a comfort zone thing. It's the idea that people go along to get along. drives me crazy. That I'll just do this, or I got a speeding ticket that I know that was incorrect, but I'll just pay it to I don't want to waste a day going to court and all. And it's justification or another way of putting it was the movie Mr. Saturday Night. If anyone's seen it, Billy Crystal plays an old stand-up comedian, and he gets cranky with his brother, who is his manager, because his manager's always making compromises. And he says, Stan, someone could shit in your hat, and you'd say, thanks for shitting in my hat, it fits much better now. That was the famous line from the story, and it's very true. But I want to go down the other path, and it's the idea that you said about the rabbit hole, and you said the idea that it's a form of perfectionism, that we have to go and get more detailed information. We're not happy that Giorgia Meloni is now the Italian prime minister because there's a connection there to the Rockefeller group. And I'm reminded that you must walk both sides of the fence if you're going to be an effective politician and get enough support to get yourself elected. It's a blood sport, as Dr. Zelensky said. It's one of those things, so you have to be a little bit more sophisticated in your approach. If we're looking for perfection in our leaders, we'll never get it and we'll always be disappointed. Unfortunately, Diane, we've run out of time. I'd love to get you back on the program in the future to continue the conversation and to talk about your work as you are going. It has been a great thrill and a great delight. Diane Demetre, spelled D-E-M-E-T-R-E, and it's Diane with one N. Don't miss out. Go and have a look. Look, Diane, up. Check out her work. It's amazing. And if you can, get hold of her book. And I believe you can also get an audio version, because many of us just don't find the time for all of that too. The news is coming up next. Thank you, Diane, for being on the show. Rick Munn is locked and loaded as usual. I can't wait to hear what Rick's Gurry's going next. But this is the one and only TNT Radio. I look forward to speaking with you tomorrow.